ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमिगॉड्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। भगवान् अपि विश्वात्मा भक्तानाम् अभयंकर आविवेशांश भागेन मन आनक दुंदुबी। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of all living entities and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. Purport: The word Vishvatma refers to one who is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrideshe arjuna tishtati. Another meaning of Vishvatma is the only lovable object for everyone. Because of forgetfulness of this object, people are suffering in this material world. But if one fortunately revives his old consciousness of loving Krishna and connects with Vishvatma, one becomes perfect. The Lord is described in the third canto as follows: Paravaresho Mahadamsha Yukto Hejopi Jato Bhagavan. Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appears like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. The Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently, it is not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. The word avivesha signifies that the Lord appeared within the mind of Vasudeva. There was no need for a discharge of semen. That is the opinion of Sripad Sridhar Swami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the Vaishnava Toshini, Srila Sanatan Goswami says that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudeva. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya also says that Vasudeva was one of the demigods, and that within his mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as an awakening of consciousness. I seek the blessings of the devotees before attempting to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we are reading from this 10th canto, second chapter. So in this particular verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes about Krishna's appearance. The previous verses we heard that how Krishna actually ordered Yogamaya to transfer Balram from the womb of Devaki to Vasudeva, and then he also ordered him to take birth as a daughter of Nanda and Yashoda, and then Vasudeva will bring back Yogamaya and he will take Krishna to Nanda Gokul. So here it is described that about Krishna's appearance, that when described that when Krishna appeared, Krishna first entered the mind of Vasudeva, and then from the mind of Vasudeva, Krishna was transferred to the mind of Devaki, and from the mind of Devaki, Krishna actually entered the womb of Devaki, and then Krishna appeared from the womb of Devaki. So here it is described, Bhagavan api Vishvatma Bhaktanam Abhayankara Avivesh Amshabhagena Mana Anaka Dundube. That's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of all living entities and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. So let us try to discuss some of the words which are there in this particular verse. So it is described, Bhagavan api Vishvatma. So the person who actually entered the mind of Vasudev is the super soul of the entire universe, Vishvatma. So this is a very important principle, that unless we actually, we see that crime rate is actually increasing in the world. People commit so much of crimes and people perform so many sinful activities. People act hypocritically. So one of the reason, one of the main reason for it is because they feel that actually nobody is watching him. Nobody is watching them. They think that, oh, maybe we can, by performing this act, then we can actually easily escape punishment because nobody is actually watching them. Once Srila Prabhupada was studying in the Scottish college, one of the professor, I think one of the professor from the Scotland or England, so he was telling to the students that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. But then how can we believe that we are suffering for the our past actions which happened previously? Who is the witness for that? So when Srila Prabhupada was there, so he knew the answer, that Krishna is situated as the witness, as the super soul. But then out of respect for the professor, he didn't want to challenge, he didn't answer. And then later, Prabhupada says, when we actually read the books, Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, we actually came to know how to answer this. So this is an important principle to understand, that Krishna is actually situated as super soul everywhere. Like one devotee was telling that in Singapore, it is a spitting is considered a crime. If somebody spits at a particular place, he would be actually informed that you spat on this particular day and this particular place at this particular time, so you have to pay this particular so much of fine. Because everywhere camera is put, so immediately they come to know that somebody has spit there. In fact, in one particular state in America, like that state was having a lot of debts. So they were having, in order to actually clear up the debts, they put cameras all over the street. And then with the help of the cameras, they caught people who are breaking traffic rules. And then in that way, they actually earned so much of money. And then the people became so frustrated, and then they started demanding, remove all the cameras. So basically, when you know that, oh, in a place like cameras are there everywhere, a person becomes conscious, like, oh, before I steal something, I have to, like, maybe remove the camera, I have to do it in such a way that I don't become caught in a camera. But we must know that Krishna is actually situated as a super soul everywhere. People are not aware of this fact. Because of that, they think, though, we can actually get over the crime because nobody is watching us. And another important thing is, one may say, okay, Krishna is, somebody may say, okay, I understand that Krishna is a super soul, he watches. Still, I'll do the crime because somebody may say, okay, he's just the witness. So simply somebody is witnessing, that doesn't mean that he can punish. But then Krishna is not only the witness, but he also has the power to sanction the punishment. He is also the sanctioner. That's why Gajendra, in his prayer, he says, Kshetrajnaya namastubhyam sarvadhyakshaya sakshine purushaya atma malaya mula prakritaye namaha. Gajendra says, Krishna is the supreme witness. He is the witness of all the external activities and the internal activities. And he is also the sarvadhyakshaya. That means, he also has the power to, he is the superintendent. He has the power to punish also. So Krishna is not just the witness, but he is the potent witness. He is the witness and he is also the sanctioner. So he has the power to give punishment also. So that is a very important thing. So that is why one has to understand that when you understand that Krishna is a witness and he also has the power to punish. So that actually deters a person to commit sinful activities. And another thing, like I personally remember at least few times, actually super soul, Krishna actually in situated super soul, many times like he remains, Krishna says, Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I give the remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. At least few times I vividly remember, like when you do this service of, like to remind other devotees, they have this particular service. So, at least few times, I was remembering, maybe this devotee may not be remembering this particular service. I also didn't remind him. And then I was taking bath. Then I thought, as soon as immediately after I take bath, when I come back, I'll just remind, I'll call that devotee to find out whether he remembers that particular service. And to my surprise, both the times, 2-3 times it happened, like actually that devotee did not remember, and then he was supposed to do that particular service of offering or aarti. So I was thinking, like, super soul actually knows, in space from within the door, this particular devotee is not remembering, so he's just reminding through others. So that's why Krishna is a super soul situated in everyone's heart. And another thing which is mentioned is, Prabhupada says, the another meaning of the word Vishvatma, one meaning he says is, one who is situated in everyone's heart. And another meaning he says is, the only lovable object for everyone. So Krishna is the only lovable object for everyone. In fact, when Prabhupada started ISKCON, when he wanted to name the society, others suggested you should name as International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to name as God Consciousness, I want to name as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Prabhupada was completely convinced that Krishna is the only lovable object for everyone. It's not Krishna is not limited to some sectarian group of people of a particular caste or people coming from a particular country or a particular species. He's the only lovable object for everyone. In fact, there is a very nice verse, especially I was very inspired when I read this verse. In the 3rd canto, 15th chapter, there is this pastime of the 4 Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma. Once they went to meet Lord Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets. So that time, it is described, Uchu Suhruttama Didrakshita Banga Ishat. So when the 4 Kumaras, who are actually very qualified, who are great renunciants, who are the fittest persons to enter Vaikuntha, when they wanted to enter the Vaikuntha planet, they were stopped by the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jay and Vijay. So when the 4 Kumaras were stopped by the doorkeepers to see their most beloved master, they actually became angry. So it is, the particular word which is used is Suhruttama. The 4 Kumaras were stopped in seeing their most beloved master. Suhruttama means the dearest friend of every living entity. So the Supreme Lord is the most dearest, dearest master of everyone. When they were stopped to see the Supreme Master, they became angry. So Prabhupada comments on this particular word, Suhruttama. He says, Suhruttama means, why Krishna the Suhruttama is, because although he says Krishna is so kindly disposed towards everyone, that in spite of our forgetting our relationship with the Supreme Lord, still Krishna comes in his original form as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or sometimes Krishna comes in the mood of a devotee as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or sometimes he sends his representatives to reclaim the conditioned souls. So the point is that although we forget our relationship with the Supreme Lord, Krishna never forgets, and then he keeps on sending his representatives. He comes in his different incarnations. I read a simple story which was like, when I read that, I just remembered this particular point. Like once a person went to see a doctor. Went to see some dentist or somebody. So he was waiting for the doctor. So it was taking some time. So then doctor said you have to wait for half an hour more. So he said, no, I haven't. I have to go at 10 o'clock. We have an appointment at 10 o'clock. I have to go somewhere else. So you please see my case before. So the doctor said, what is so urgent that you have to go at 10 o'clock? He said, I have to actually meet my wife in the mental asylum. My wife is actually admitted in the mental asylum. I have to go and meet her. So doctor said, what happened to your wife? Why is she in the mental asylum? He said, actually my wife met with an accident. So since she met with an accident, she actually has lost her memory. And she is actually, she doesn't remember anybody. She cannot even recognize me. So she is admitted in the mental asylum. So every day I go and meet her. I go and have breakfast with her at 10 o'clock. The doctor said, if the wife does not even remember you as her husband, then why not, like, you can go a little later. Because she will not go, will not mind, because she doesn't know who you are. But he said, actually the wife does not remember me, but she has actually served me for so many years. So how can I forget her? So I can't deal in an insensitive manner. So I want to go in that particular time. I want to have breakfast with her. It's a simple story, but we can actually relate with that. So basically the point is that the living entity, he has actually forgotten his relationship with Krishna. He has not just forgotten his relationship with Krishna. He's acting in such a rebellious way towards Krishna since time immemorial, birth after death, for so many millions of lifetimes. But although a living entity is acting so rebelliously towards Krishna for such millions of lifetimes, but Krishna actually never forgets his relationship with the living entity. So he never forgets. See, again and again, repeatedly, regularly, in every millennium, in every yuga, he comes personally in different incarnations. He sends his devotees. He sends the scriptures just to reclaim the conditioned souls. So that is why Prabhupada says, Krishna is the Suhruttama, because although we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna, Krishna actually never forgets, and he actually tries to reclaim the rebellious conditioned souls. So that is why here Vishwatva means the lovable object of everyone. So it is described, I heard from another devotee this particular analogy. He was saying that how when a person, there are two things, when a person actually establishes his relationship with Krishna, two things happen. When a person establishes a relationship with Krishna, he actually establishes relationship with every living entity. This devotee was saying that just like before the marriage, a man and woman have so many relationships. Like he has got so many relatives. In the sense, a man has so many father, mother, brother, sister, niece, nice, friends, etc. And women also have so many relatives. But just after the marriage, the number of relatives immediately increase by another 100 or 200, something like, or 50 or 100. Just because of establishing relationship with one particular person, he gets so many new relatives. Brother-in-law, sister-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law, and their brothers, sisters, friends, relatives, etc. So similarly, just because of establishing relationship with one Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one actually establishes relationship with all the living entities. That's why Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, Krishna consciousness is that one main switch, that when you switch on that one main switch, all the lights in the building, they get switched on. And if you fail to switch on that one main switch, that even if all the other switches are on, then there won't be supply. So this is the first result of attachment to Krishna, that he actually establishes a relationship with every living entity. He sees every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna. And the another result of attachment with Krishna is, one becomes detached from the conception of me and mine. So when we say attachment to Krishna, we actually establish attachment with Krishna by attaching ourselves with the devotees of Krishna. So whether a person develops attachment to Krishna or whether a person develops attachment with a devotee of Krishna, the result will be same. So it is described in the one of the prayers offered by Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj says, Tena smarant atitaram priyamisha martyam yechan vadas suta suhrid grahavitta dara yetvabja naba bhavadiya padaravinda sauganda lubda hridayeshu krita prasanga. So Dhruva Maharaj is saying, O my Lord who have a lotus navel, that simply by developing attachment towards your devotees who always hanker after the fragrance of your lotus feet, sauganda lubda hridayeshu krita prasanga. When you develop attachment with your devotees who always hanker after the fragrance of your lotus feet, what happens? A person becomes detached from the bodily conception. Tena smarant atitaram priyam. There are actually two things which actually make a person, which keeps a person bound to this material world. These two conceptions are me and mine. The second canto, Lord Brahma says, Vilajya manaya yasya statum iksha pate muya vimohita vikatante mamaham iti durdiya. He says that the illusory energy of mine, the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord cannot take precedence. Illusory energy is actually standing in the backside of the Supreme Lord, feeling ashamed of her presence. And when people are deluded by the illusory energy, they talk nonsense. They speak nonsensical words. What are those nonsensical words? They talk nonsense in terms of me and mine. So basically these two conceptions, me and mine, they keep a person bound to this material world. And out of these two conceptions, the conception which is more deep rooted is the me. Because the body is actually most dear to a person. That's why Dhruva Maharaj is saying, Yechan vada tena smaran atitaram priyam. Atitaram priyam is the body is actually most dear to a person. So he says, when a person becomes attached to a devotee of the Lord, to a devotee who hankers after the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, what happens? Such a person becomes detached from his own body. And what to speak of? Not only he becomes detached from the body, Tena smarant atitaram priyamisha martyam yechan vada suta sukhrit griha vitta dara. Not only becomes detached from the body, he also becomes detached from things related to the body. Suta, sons, friends, wealth, house, wife, relatives, etc. So basically, this is the point, that when a person develops attachment to Krishna, when a person understands the supreme lovable object is Krishna or his devotees, he actually sees every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna, and he becomes detached from the conceptions of me and mine, which is the cause of bondage to the material world. In fact, in the first canto, it is described about when Suta Goswami, after he was asked by the sages of Naimisharanya, when the sages of Naimisharanya asked the six questions to Suta Goswami, before he starts answering those questions, he first offers obeisances to his spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami. So there he says, Yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano viraha kantara ajuhava putreti tanmayataya tarvobinetus tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. He says, I offer my obeisances to the Shukadeva Goswami, who actually resides in the heart of every living entity. Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. How is that Shukadeva Goswami resides in the heart of every living entity? When Shukadeva Goswami was there in the womb of his mother, he actually did not want to come out of the womb, because he was fearing that if I come out of the womb, I will be actually, I will get carried away by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. So let me not come out of the womb only. But then the Supreme Lord gave him assurance, you come out of the womb, I will protect you personally from the illusory energy. Then he came out of the womb, but as soon as he came out of the womb, he immediately went towards the forest. So Vyasadeva ran after Shukadeva Goswami. Oh my son, please stop. Please don't go away. He was like shouting at Shukadeva Goswami. So when Vyasadeva shouted at Shukadeva Goswami, it is described the trees also echoed in separation to the voice of Vyasadeva. When Shukadeva, because it is described, Shukadeva Goswami is such a great devotee. He was as good as the super soul, because he was present in the heart of every living entity. So even the trees were actually feeling separation from Shukadeva Goswami. So that's why trees were actually shouting. Oh, they were also feeling separation. That's why it is described, they echoed in response to the voice of Shukadeva Goswami, in response to the voice of Vyasadeva. So here it appears that Shukadeva Goswami is a great devotee of the Lord. He's such a great devotee, is present in the heart of every living entity. So much so that even the trees were feeling separation. And it appears that Vyasadeva is actually very much attached. Because Vyasadeva is like attached to his son. He is going after his son. He said, me and mine. It seems that Vyasadeva is having the conception of mine. But then Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, he writes in his purport, he says that, he especially says, Tanmaya, putreti Tanmaya. Tanmaya means a person is attached to something. A Streemaya means a person is attached to a woman. So it appears that Vyasadeva is actually attached to his son. But then he says, Vyasadeva is actually attached to Shukadeva Goswami. And he says, the attachment to a person who resides in the mind of all living entities, like the attraction for the deity of the Lord, is not a material illusion. Vyasadeva is attached to Shukadeva Goswami, who is his son, but he is not his son, but Shukadeva Goswami is like the Supreme Lord, because Shukadeva Goswami is present in the heart of every living entity, who is the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is saying that attachment to such a devotee of the Lord is not a material illusion. So he says, thus it is not a fault if Vyasadeva seemed to lose his discrimination. So it is not that Vyasadeva actually lost his discrimination, because Vyasadeva is attached to a pure devotee of the Lord. So this is the point, that Vishwatma means the only lovable object of the whole universe. So we have to develop attachment to, we can develop love towards Krishna by developing love towards the devotee of the Lord. I read a nice quote. This said that if you don't love the servants of the Lord whom you can see, how you can love the Supreme Lord whom you cannot see? Like many times people think, oh, I want to develop love for Krishna. But then we actually neglect the devotees of the Lord. So actually we can't see Krishna. Even when we come in front of the devotees, what can we see? What can we see the deities? We can't see with our material eyes. So we have to actually develop love to the devotees of the Lord, whom we can see, whom we can deal with. So then through them we can actually develop love towards the Supreme Lord. And when we develop love to the devotees, then actually the same effect happens as it happens when a person develops love for the Supreme Lord. And then another word which is mentioned in this particular verse is Bhaktanam Abhayankara. The Supreme Lord, he actually vanquishes the fear of his devotees. So this is a very important thing. It is described in different purports. In one purport, in the third canto, Prabhupada says, this fear problem is present even in the higher planets. When the demigods, when they saw the whole universe was surrounded by darkness, because the Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha was about to take birth, they became afraid. They approached Lord Brahma as to what is the cause of the darkness. So he says that fear problem is present even in the higher planets, but the demigods at least know whom to approach, who is the right authority to approach. But people in this world, they don't know whom to approach. So they continue to remain in fearful condition. In another place in the first canto, Prabhupada says, out of these four problems, eating, mating, sleeping and fearing, fear is the most prominent, because one doesn't know, a person does not know what is going to come next. So fearing is like the most prominent of all these four problems, eating, mating, sleeping and fearing. So it is said, like, in fact, like, I was hearing on devotee's lecture, like when in the 1976, late 70s, so there was a court case which was filed against ISKCON. Some people had filed that ISKCON is brainwashing the people, ISKCON is a cult. So Prabhupada was telling his devotees like how to deal with the situation. So Prabhupada told his disciple, you tell the court, you represent the ISKCON, and you tell them, you please read all our 80 books. After reading all the 80 books, you please decide whether this, whether we are brainwashing or whether we are bona fide religious institution. So then devotees, they told the judge that we have these 80 books written by, published in our ISKCON society. You please read these books and then you decide whether we are brainwashing or whether it's a bona fide philosophy. But then the judge said, if I read your books, I will get convinced. I don't want to read. Then the devotees told that this is what judge is saying. So Prabhupada said, actually these people, they don't have any individual conviction in anything in life. If they have at least some individual conviction in some philosophy, they will not feel afraid. Like once, like Devamrit Prabhu, like, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he was preaching in IIT. Like, he would go to some students, he would conduct some programs. Some students would say that, like, we don't want to hear from you because if we hear you, we may get convinced. So these are some cheapo kind of intellectuals, because they don't have any conviction in any philosophy. Actually, in one sense, what they say is true. Because it actually tells one particular verse of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the 10th chapter, 7th verse, Yetam vibhutim cha yogam cha mama yo veti tatvatah so vikalpena yogena yujyate natra samshaya. Krishna says that one who hears my opulences, Yetam vibhutim cha yogam cha mama yo veti tatvatah, one who knows all these opulences, one who hears these opulences in truth, such a person, so vi kalpena yogena yujete nantra samshaya, such a person will engage in my devotional service and there is no doubt about this. And Prabhupada says that if a person actually hears these opulences of Krishna, there is no alternative but surrender to Krishna. I say once, A reporter asked Jayadeva Maharaj, like, why did you become a devotee? Jayadeva Maharaj said, the philosophy left me with no alternatives. So basically, the point is that, like, many people have fear. They are actually fearful. Oh, maybe if I come for this one, maybe I will get convinced. So, this is a fearing, this one kind of fear that people are actually fearful of sadhus. That if I go close to them, maybe I can't follow my own way of life. And we can see another instance, actually how the fear problem is all pervading. Lord Shiva says in his Rudra Gita in the fourth canto, he says, Atatvam asino brahman, paramatman vipaschitam, vishvam rudra bayas dvastam, akutaschit bayagatihi. He says, my dear Lord, all learned persons, all actually learned persons, they know you as the supreme Brahman and the supreme personality of Godhead, as the super soul. And then he says, vishvam rudra bayad dvastam akutaschit bayagatihi. He says, although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who annihilates everything, but the learned devotees, they are actually not afraid of anything. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who is the annihilator of everything, but the learned devotees are not afraid of anything. In fact, you are the fearless destination of all the learned devotees. That Srila Prabhupada writes a very interesting point. Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva is actually, Lord Shiva is, who is speaking this verse? The person who is speaking this verse is Lord Shiva, who is actually Rudra himself. And he is saying, he is speaking about the fear of Lord Rudra. How the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who is annihilator of everything. So he says, there are many Rudras. There are actually 11 Rudras who are responsible for annihilation. He says that Lord Shiva, who is a Rudra, he is speaking about the fear of Rudra. That means, he says that even one Rudra is fearful of other Rudras. Not only the entire universe is afraid of the fear of Lord Rudra, who is actually the annihilator of the whole universe, but even one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra. So that means we can understand that how this problem of fear is all pervading. Not just with the ordinary living, it is even the Lord Rudra, who actually annihilates everything, whom the entire universe is afraid of, even that Rudra is afraid of other Rudras. But Lord Shiva is saying, but the devotees, they are actually not afraid of anything. In fact, you are the fearless destination of all the devotees. So this is a very important thing. In fact, in one lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was saying that, he was talking about Prahlad Maharaj. He was saying that Prahlad Maharaj, when he was a small boy, like, for a small boy, the ultimate shelter for a small boy is the father. Like, whatever happens to a small boy, if somebody threatens, somebody beats him, he will ultimately go to his father. But Prahlad Maharaj, his own father Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu was, with his full power and strength, he wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj. And who is the ultimate shelter of, like, the father is the ultimate shelter of a child, but Hiranyakashipu, who was the, like, a emperor of the whole universe, and who is the father of Prahlad Maharaj, with his full might and full power, he actually wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj was not at all afraid. He was completely fearless, because he had taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. In fact, I was hearing from Shubhavilasra in one of the classes, I think I was quoting from Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Like, Prahlad Maharaj was so fearless that once Hiranyakashipu dropped Prahlad Maharaj from the top of a mountain, So Prahlad Maharaj, his fearlessness was in such a high state that he had complete faith in the Supreme Lord. And his faith was constant when he was in the top of the mountain and he was falling in the middle of from the mountain in the middle. And his faith was same when he actually reached the bottom of the mountain. It is not that, like, when he reached the bottom of the mountain, after he was saved by Lord Vishnu, his faith increased. And his faith was less when he was in the top of the mountain. His faith was same. Because he had taken complete shelter of the Supreme Lord, he was actually fearless. So this is a very important thing. Bhaktanam abhayankara. In fact, like according to one particular survey, it was reported about the top three fears in the world. It is said the number three fear, it was reported as the fear of death. And the number two fear is the fear of losing girlfriend. It was in America. And the number one fear was the fear of public speaking. So we can actually public speaking is one of the greatest fear actually. But we can see that even when a person takes shelter of Krishna, a person can even overcome fear of public speaking. It is described in the first canto when Shukadev Goswami entered the assembly where Parikshit Maharaj was present and all the sages were present. It is described that in that assembly, personalities like Vyasadev, Narada Muni, Parashuram, and so many people were present. Prabhupada explains there were Devarishis, Brahmarishis, there were rulers of the Kshatriya kings like Parashuram, there were incarnations of the Supreme Lord like Vyasadev, Narada Muni. But Shukadev Goswami came there and it is described Prashantam Asinam Akunta Medasam. Shukadev Goswami came and sat in the assembly and he sat peacefully and he answered all the questions of Parikshit Maharaj without any hesitation. So it is, it's not an ordinary thing. Like whenever I hear, think of like giving class in front of like Radha Gopinath Prabhu, like other senior devotees like Shyamanand Prabhu Gaurang. Always like fearful, like many times when people like prepare for the class then they get bowel movements because there is a fear of facing such people. So bowel movements start and then they have to go attend to the nature's call. So here like Shukadev Goswami is one may think maybe Shukadev Goswami is like proud or something. No, Shukadev Goswami neither had inferiority complex nor was he feeling himself proud of other people. He actually said, he answered all the questions of Parikshit Maharaj without any hesitation. In fact, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary in the first canto, second chapter. He says that all these sages like Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, etc., they actually heard from Shukadev Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam, as if it had not been heard before. Actually, they have heard Srimad Bhagavatam so many times, all these stories so many times before. Like one is to hear something, and another is like to hear the same thing as if it had not been heard before. Like, and people who are hearing a particular pastime for the first time, they're naturally like eager. Because first time they are hearing the story, they are eager. But when people have heard the story so many times, especially all the devotees in Radha Gopinath temple, here for so many, they must have heard all the pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam so many times. For so many years, people are narrating this pastime. But for such a person to hear the same pastime as if it had not been heard before, it means it's not something ordinary. But all these sages, they've heard all the stories, but they heard these stories from Shukadev Goswami as if it had not been heard before. So what is it in Shukadev Goswami that he could actually speak in such a way? So that is why Suta Goswami says, Yahasvanubhava makila shruti saramekam अध्यात्मदीपमतितीर्षतां तमोन्दम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससु उनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां. He says, especially this particular word, yahaswanubhavam. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, so yahaswanubhavam means that which produced the, that which made Shukadeva Goswami superior to all the other sages. What made Shukadeva Goswami superior to all the other sages? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Srimad Bhagavatam made Shukadeva Goswami superior to all the other sages. Because he received the blessings of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually non-different from Lord Krishna, that he actually spoke in such a way that he was not fearful, he neither had inferiority complex, nor was he proud. And all the sages, they heard as if it had not been heard before. And finally, I'll just complete with this one. Avive Amsha Bhagena. Avivesha Amsha Bhaga means Krishna appeared with all his amshas and bhagas. All his amshas and opulences. That means Krishna appeared in his original form. So Prabhupada quotes a very important verse from the third canto, second chapter. Paravaresho mahadamsha yukto yajopi jato bhagavan yatagni. So Uddhava speaks this verse to Vidura. In fact, Vidura asked this question to Uddhava. There are so many contradictions about Krishna. We heard that Krishna is actually the Lord of Vaikuntha. He appeared as Lord Krishna. Or some people say that Kshirodakshayi Vishnu appeared as Lord Krishna. Or some people say that the Lord Vamanadeva, Naranarayan Rishi, they appeared as Lord Krishna. Or some people say that Krishna in Dwaraka is the supreme most form. So what is actually true? So in response to that, Uddhava is speaking this verse. Swashanta rupai itarai swarupai abhyardhyamanesh anukampitatma paravaresho mahadamsha yukto. He says, Lord Krishna is the master of the spiritual and material creations. Paravaresho mahadamsha yukto yajopi jato bhagavan yatapni. He is unborn, but still he appears out of his compassion. When does he appear? Out of his compassion, he appears whenever there is a friction between his peaceful devotees and the non-devotees who are actually under the control of the modes of material nature. And he appears just like fire. Just like when there is a rubbing of stones, fire appears. Actually, fire is present in those stones. But when there is friction between the stones, fire appears. So similarly, Krishna is eternally present in his abodes like Mathura, Vrindavan, etc. But whenever there is a friction between the devotees, Krishna, who is already eternally present, he appears. And then he uses the word paravareshu. The word para means, Prabhupada translates that Krishna is the master of spiritual and material creations. So the word para means Krishna is the lord of Narayan, who is the master of the Vaikuntha planets, who is beyond Prakriti. That is the meaning of the word para. And avara means Krishna is the lord of personalities like Lord Brahma and others. That is the meaning of the word avara. And mahad means Krishna is endowed with forms such as Mahavishnu, the creator of mahat tattva. That is the meaning of the word mahad. And amsha yukto. And Krishna is endowed with his amshas like Matsya, Kurma, Vamana, Narsingadev, Naranarayan, etc. So basically, Uddhava is telling to Vidura, this Krishna who appeared as, he is the original personality of Godhead. He is the master of the spiritual and material creation. He is endowed with forms such as Mahavishnu, etc. He clarifies, he is saying that he is not Narayan coming from Vaikuntha. In fact, he is the person who is the origin of Narayan. And he is not Shirodakshaya Vishnu coming from milk ocean. In fact, Shirodakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Lord Krishna. So that is why he says, Amshamsha Bhagena. Krishna comes with all these amshas and they merge with Krishna, the Lord of all of them. So finally, I'll complete with this particular verse from the 12th canto. So when, just like Krishna appeared, the 12th canto, 13th chapter, Suta Goswami describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. He actually lists the 18 Puranas. Brahma, he says that Brahma Puran contains 10,000 verses, Padma Puran contains 50,000 verses, like Vishnu Puran contains 23,000 verses, and Srimad Bhagavatam contains like 18,000 verses. And then he further goes on, Narada Puran contains so many verses. He lists all the 18 Puranas. And then the total number of verses contained in all the Puranas is some 4 lakh verses, like that he says. And then he says that the 18,000 verses which belong to the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam is the best, like that he says. And then he says 18,000 verses belong to the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, like that he completes that verse. 12th canto, 13th chapter, I think, 4th or 5th verses. So Vishnu Chakravarti comments on this verse. So Suta Goswami lists all the 18 Puranas, and in that he mentions one of the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then at the end he again mentions out of this 4 lakh verses, 18,000 verses belong to Srimad Bhagavatam. So why does he mention that? He says this is similar to the verse which Suta Goswami speaks in the first canto, 3rd chapter. Yete chamsha kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Where Suta Goswami mentions all the incarnations of Lord Krishna. And then he says, but Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says similarly, although all these Puranas are great, but Srimad Bhagavatam is the original. He is the supreme among all the Puranas. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is just like Krishna appeared with all his amshas. Krishna is not an incarnation of Vishnu or something, but Krishna is the source of all the incarnations. So Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme among all the Puranas. So that is why it said Srimad Bhagavatam is the emperor among all the Pramanas, Chakravarti Praman. And finally, that's why in a verse in the 11th canto, when Krishna, before he disappeared from this world, he felt that now I have spread my glories, my pastimes and my qualities sufficiently in this world. So having being satisfied with the spreading of his glories, then he returned to the spiritual world. So then he felt that, oh, people simply chant these glories, they will actually cross this ocean of material existence. So Jiva Goswami comments on that verse. He says that not only those people, he says that those people who chant the glories, who hears and chants the glories of the Supreme Lord, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, they will attain the same perfection as those people who are present when Krishna performed his pastimes personally on this planet. So that means the same perfection which is available for the associates of Lord Krishna who are present when Krishna personally appeared, the same perfection is available for people who are born even thousands and millions of years later, who actually, when they simply hear and chant these pastimes of Lord Krishna as presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the is non-different from Lord Krishna, who is actually the source of all the incarnations. So, of course, there are some more points which are there. I will stop with this. So today, to summarize, we just talked about this particular words, Vishwatma, that Krishna is the super soul of the entire universe, and he is the supreme lovable object of everyone. And when we also discuss this point, how Krishna is the, he gives protection to all the devotees from fear, Bhaktanam Abhayankara. And the person who appeared in the womb of Devaki is Krishna, who actually appeared along with all the amshas and all his opulences. And he first entered the mind of Vasudev, and then he transferred himself to the mind of Devaki. So I'll stop here since it's over time. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai.